for about 3 weeks, ever since the night I preached on popcorn. Was you here that night?
Amen.
I preached on popcorn. There was two kernels. Y'all didn't see them, but they kind of just barely popped. But for the most part, they were still in the shell, and they just barely come out just a little bit. And I took them two out and laid them here on the pulpit while I think we set the bowl of popcorn here, and we had the ones that were unpopped. But there were some that was like they were kind of in between. And it bothered me, and as I was leaving here that night at the conclusion of service, God began to deal with me on the carnal kernel. That's what we want to preach about tonight, is the carnal kernel. Now, if you will turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2. We'll state a few things about that popcorn again in case you missed it that night, and try to tie that to where we're going with tonight's message. We were reading a book that Brother Adrian Rogers had written, and there was a chapter that just leapt out of the book and grabbed a hold of me, and I couldn't even read the next chapter in the book for stopping where I was. And going that, let's take that a little bit deeper. Then began to read Brother J. Vernon McGee. Say amen. And Matthew Henry, read Matthew Poole, J. Harold Smith. You wouldn't believe it, but every one of them's got the same 3 points. And guess what I'm going to use tonight? The same 3 points. So you preachers just copy each other. It don't work like that. It'll be different, I'm sure. But tonight I feel led that this is what we're in need of. I'm not very smart. I realize that, and I'm not super spiritual. But I felt very strongly, I've had this working on me for some time, and I felt very strongly that I was going to preach this morning. And God said, no, you save that for tonight. And you may say, uh-oh, because sometimes on Sunday night, he's plumb mean to us. But I pray tonight it just be truth revealed. The Bible says, if you would stand with me, so we reverence God's Word together in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's a wonderful chapter. You got to go home and dig a little deeper in it. Oh, I can't hardly leave out verse number 9. Let's just start there. But as is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God. I like that, don't you? But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Out of these verses we see a carnal kernel beginning. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We ask now you would help us fall to stand and preach the truth in love, and help us tonight that we would be helped by your Spirit and taught by your Spirit. We ask these favors in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. We spoke some time back about believers being like popcorn that's in a hard shell. And when it hits a certain temperature, the moisture on the inside of the popcorn begins to turn to steam. And the more that the heat is placed upon that popcorn, the more the steam builds inside the popcorn. So eventually, the inside of the popcorn overcomes the outside of the popcorn, and it goes pop! And you see a nice, big, fluffy kernel of popcorn completely popped out. If you were to try to eat the popcorn before it's popped, it's no good. You can't enjoy it. It's inedible. But if you'll eat it after it's been popped, you certainly can enjoy it. You and I as Christians should learn to become like popcorn. We ought to let the inner man shine out. And that happens when we get in the right atmosphere. When we get in His presence and when we begin to pray Him, seeking His face, we'll begin to pop for His glory. Now I want us to see tonight there are three classes of people. Now, you may say, preacher, there are two. There are the lost and the saved. But I want to submit to you tonight, there is another class besides them. There is a third class. I want to start tonight, point number one, with the natural man. The natural man in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Understand, everything, the complete sum that the natural man is, he's received by his natural birth. Amen. He is flesh. He was born flesh, and he is flesh. He may have good qualities, good characteristics, but spiritually the natural man is dead. What do you mean, preacher? Well, the Bible teaches us because of depravity, because when Adam sinned, we all die. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, turn there very quick. First Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die. What couldn't be any plainer than that? You and I, by natural birth, have inherited the nature of Adam. Therefore, you and I, because he fell, we have fallen. We are sinners at best. This did not mean when Adam died that he immediately died physically, but it does mean that he immediately spiritually died. Eventually, he would physically die as well. Hey, when sin came, death came as a result of sin. Is that not true? You and I are made in Adam's likeness. Preacher, I tend to say that that's not true. We are made in the likeness of God. Well, Adam was made in the likeness of God. I can show you over there in the book of Genesis where Adam was made in the likeness of God. Okay? But Adam sinned. And when he sinned, he became defaced. No longer was he the express image of an almighty, holy God. He sinned. And you and I, according to Genesis chapter 5, verse number 3, you and I are now made in the image of Adam. Look with me. In Genesis chapter 5, don't take my word for it. Please turn and see it. In Genesis chapter 5, verse number 3, Adam lived. Now we realize he had Cain and he had Abel, and one brother slew the other. Remember, one brother said, am I my brother's keeper? That's exactly what he said. All right. And he ended up, he'd killed his other brother. But look, this is the third child. Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Seth was born in his likeness, the likeness of Adam, and after his own image, the image of Adam. Therefore, we've all sinned. We were all made in the image of Adam. Amen? Now understand, that does not mean, because you and I are spiritually dead, it does not mean that you can't come to church and enjoy the service. Go back to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1. It says in verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. It did not say that the natural man can't come to service and enjoy the service. He might enjoy your warm, friendly handshake. He might enjoy the good camaraderie and the good fellowship, people being nice. He might enjoy the good picking of the Smoky Mountain boys at church that night. He might enjoy a gifted pastor who could swell him up with eloquent words and excellency of speech. He might enjoy to be around these things. But to reveal truth to him, only the Spirit of God can do that. And the natural man, not having the Spirit of God, cannot understand anything other than natural things. How many times before you got saved did you try to read the Bible but you couldn't understand it? You know why? It's a spiritual book. And it takes the Spirit of God to reveal it to you. Amen? Now the natural man, he understands the newspaper, understands the stock market up or down, understands the sports page, understands the classifieds, understands the obituaries, amen? But he does not understand the Word of God until the Holy Ghost comes and reveals truth to him. I can stand and preach till I'm blue in the face, but the Spirit of God don't take those words and penetrate the natural man's heart. They're not going to do any good to the natural man. Amen? All right. He said, the Bible said, he can't understand these things because they're revealed by the Spirit of God. And he said those things are foolishness to him. Tonight the world's riding by here, the unsaved world, rides by and looks and sees your car and thinks them foolish people up there talking about a man who died on a cross, who they say rose the third day, whether he did or not, we don't know, we don't care, don't affect us, they think. And they think you're foolish to come up here and listen to a preacher holler and scream at you and tell you how it is. That's foolishness to them. They'd rather be out mowing the yard and on the golf course and at the rummage sale than in the house of God. Turn over to chapter 1, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians. What does the Scripture say? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Thank God for the preaching of the cross. Thank God that you and I have a natural birth. One day we were in church somewhere just enjoying the service and the man of God got up and preached and made us miserable when the Holy Ghost came and spoke to us about being dead in trespass and sin. On our way to a devil's hell, we became miserable. Yet it was the truth. And thanks be unto God for the Holy Ghost who told us about one who could save us and change our spiritual condition. Amen. Watch this at the end of chapter 2, verse 14. Watch this. He says it's foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. Everything you and I know about God, God revealed to us. Or you didn't get it. They'll use this illustration that I saw in the book. If you were a television, okay, and your tuner was broke, and the signal comes in, you won't pick it up because your tuner's broke. There are radio stations I can't pick up on my dial because even though my tuner works, I'm so far away from the signal, amen? But God's signal will reach everywhere. Our tuner as natural man's just broke. It's not tuned in. Listen, you don't pick up FM stations on the AM dial. Say amen. Right. If our tuner's broke, these things of God are spiritually discerned. We cannot know them. It takes a Holy Spirit tuning to pick these things up. Now, we can show you this in the book of John chapter 3. By that great man named Nicodemus, who is an educated man. He was a ruler among the Jews, according to Scripture. He was a Pharisee. What's this in John chapter 3, verse 1? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Be born again. He said, Nicodemus, you've had one birth. It's a birth in the flesh. You understand flesh things. You're educated. You understand natural things. But you cannot see the kingdom of God without a second birth. There must be a spiritual birth. Nicodemus, now here's the natural man. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Here's a man that says, that don't make no sense to me. That preaching Jesus is foolishness. I don't understand it. But watch what Jesus said. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, you've got to be born of water. What's water? It's the Word of God, amen. It could represent the Spirit as well. And also he says the Spirit. It's going to take the Word of God to penetrate. It's going to take the Spirit of God to impart truth to you. Amen. To the natural man, these things are foolishness. Amen. Now go back over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Down there about verse number 12. Wants to talk second of all about the supernatural man. We've all agreed we've had a first birth. That's a natural man. And one of these days we're going to die physically. But most importantly, we're already dead and trespassed in sin. Spiritually, we're dead. What can a dead man do? Huh? A dead man, you think about what man today lives for. He lives for materials and for possessions. That's what the natural man thinks is going to get the job done. That's like animals live that way. We've got two dogs at the house, and I threw out two pieces of bread, and they about fought each other. And there's one for both of them. But one dog wanted them both, growling and hollering at each other, and barking. Boy, I thought, boy, ain't that just like a bunch of Baptists. You give enough for everybody, but somebody wants more than they can handle. Let's talk about the supernatural man, the man that got saved. In verse number 12, the Bible says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The supernatural man has received salvation. He has had the Spirit of God come and penetrate his heart with the Word of God, and you got saved. And the Holy Ghost came and began to minister to you and indwell you, and you begin to perceive and learn spiritual truths. Amen. The supernatural man has eternal life. Praise God for that. But hear me. The supernatural man is not the natural man improved. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Preacher, I don't like turning to all these verses. You know me. I want to prove it to you in the Word. You might get to share it with somebody, and you might need to mark it yourself. And I know you can quote this one to me. Again, the supernatural man is not the natural man improved. Such as, I'll use this illustration. A frog that used to be a tadpole. He is a tadpole improved. We saw one hopping around out there the other night from our yard onto the driveway. He used to be a tadpole. I thought, old buddy, you used to swim around here. But now look at you. You're out in the open. You're hopping around. He's just a tadpole improved. Well, there's a lot of folks that claim the second birth, but they're nothing more than a tadpole improved. They're a natural man trying to improve, and they've caught religion. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to come to church. But they never had a real second birth. I'm talking tonight about a supernatural man. The Bible says that he's not the natural man improved, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's not an improved natural man. He's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Ain't you glad tonight you're not an improved natural man, but you're a new creature, amen? And many opportunities that we've had to see maybe a husband that got saved, and as he stood up, I looked at his wife and said, he's a new creature. He's got saved. And tonight you're going home with a new husband. Boy, they smile awful big. It makes me wonder when I say you're going home with a new husband tonight if why they smile so big. But I hope they got it, that he's a new creature. Amen. Not that she has the opportunity to stray. Hallelujah. I want you to know the night you and I got saved, we became a new creature. Now go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to see something else here. The supernatural man has the Holy Ghost as his teacher. Now, I can stand up here till I'm blue in the face and try to tell you about truth. But if the Holy Ghost doesn't reveal truth to you, it's not going to make any difference. The Holy Ghost must be our teacher. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Over here in the book of 1 John. Over here in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 27, there's a beautiful verse to illustrate that. How many times you're saved? Amen? Are you saved? You're the supernatural man and you have eternal life. And how many times have you sat down with the Word and you've tried to read it but you didn't get anything? Could be that you didn't ask God to show you. Could be that you didn't say, Lord, take the Holy Ghost and open your Word to me and teach me something. Could be that you're still a natural man on the outside, but supernatural on the inside. Maybe if you try to read it in the flesh, just read it and read it and read it and read it and study, but you don't get anything. But if you'd get in the supernatural, if you'd get, boy, He'd show you things. I guess I'm one of the only ones that does that around here. But I've done it a lot more times than I care to admit to you. That I've read and just gone through the instruction of daily Bible reading. But it was just going through my eyes and through my mind and somewhere I don't know where it went. I do that too, y'all. I do that too. But there are times when we start praying and ask God to show us that He'll just take us all of a sudden and show us a few nuggets to help us along the way. The Holy Ghost must be our teacher. If you are a lamp, okay, and Jesus Christ is the light, the Holy Spirit is the oil in your life that lights you up. You need more of the Holy Spirit than you think you do. You'll never stay lit on your own. You need the Holy Ghost. What's this? Verse 27, but the anointing, that scares people. You've turned on your TV one too many times and seen the preacher up on television say, let me tell you about the anointing. And it worries and concerns you. Hey, the anointing is the Holy Ghost being applied to your life. It's the Holy Ghost, the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. In other words, the Holy Ghost is our teacher. You don't need some man to teach you. Now, some folks take this verse too far. Some folks have been critical because I went to school. I didn't go to school to preach. God called me before I went to school. I went to school so that I actually paid somebody. I actually paid them to take my nose and shove it in this book. That's what I did. Wasn't that stupid? I didn't care about the degree. All I want to know is know more about the Word of God. And as busy as I was so busy preaching, I didn't have a lot of time to sit under the preaching of the Word in other places. And should have went right to the Holy Ghost being my teacher. But then again, when I went to school, God used those men of God to take that Word right there and teach and train me. Same time, other people that you visit say, well, the Bible says that no man should teach you. And the Holy Ghost should be your teacher. So why should I listen to you preach? Why should I listen to you teach? If the Holy Ghost is my teacher, I'll just lay out and have church at home. That's not what the Word of God teaches us. What He's saying is, the Holy Ghost is our teacher. He's the one that gives me the words tonight to speak. He's the one that takes those words and somehow puts them in your heart and in your mind that you might grow and be more mature thereby. I can't do it, but the Holy Ghost can. He's our teacher. He is our instructor. I remember when I first surrendered to preach, people would come up to me all the time and say, hey, where did you go to school? Did you go to Fruitland? Did you go to here? And I said, no, I went to Holy Ghost Seminar. God called me to preach and the Holy Ghost instructs me. That's a good place to graduate from. Amen. I ain't graduated yet. I'm still in the kindergarten class of Holy Ghost Seminar. One of these days I'll get out of there to the first grade. And then I'll be doing something. Amen. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to show you something else. Now this supernatural man, he understands supernatural things because the Holy Ghost reveals them to him. Correct? But when he goes out and tries to tell the natural man, they look at him like he's lost his mind. They don't understand what you're talking about. I've gone up to people and tried to tell them how good service was and they looked at me like, huh? Man, that's crazy. Tell me about the ball game. Tell me about the sale down there at Goody's. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Oh, preacher, I have the right to judge. You've been teaching we shouldn't judge one another. What that word means is he discerns all things. There are times when we need spiritual discernment, and the Holy Ghost gives us that. Yet he himself is judged of no man. In other words, he has Holy Ghost discernment, but when he tries to share that to the natural man looks at him and says, what? That makes no sense to me. Read on. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that the thing that motivates the natural man is not the thing that motivates the supernatural man. Hey, and when we, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, I just want to tell you tonight that you're a bunch of peculiar people. You're a bunch of oddballs. The supernatural man, watch this. He's different than the natural man. 1 Peter 4, 4. When you try to witness to him and minister to him, look what the natural man looks and sees. I wonder sometimes if this is not why Sunday night service is not as full as Sunday morning. If there's not a bunch of natural folks sitting here that don't get it and don't care to come back on Sunday night.
Bless him, Lord.
Preacher, you're talking about me. Don't you judge me. Well, I think if you cared for the things of God, you would come. 1 Peter, well, preacher, you don't give me the things of God. If you'd pray for me, I would. In 1 Peter 4, 4. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. They think it strange that you go to church on Wednesday night. They think it strange that on Sunday night you have a desire to learn more from the Word of God. A natural man don't know. Don't you understand? There's a good ball game on tonight. Don't you understand? Our kids has got to go to school tomorrow. We can't afford to keep them out till 7 o'clock. Lord have mercy. I seen them at the Walmart out there the other night at 10. Didn't slow them down then. It's just they don't care for the things of God. There's a difference between the supernatural man and the natural man. And you cannot expect the natural man to understand supernatural things. Hey, man. I don't care if you don't like it. That's good theology. And it's there. But then we get into that third one. Preacher, that third one. Yeah, back here in 1 Corinthians. What's this? There is the natural man, the supernatural man. And then number three, there is the unnatural man. What, preacher? He is the carnal kernel. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. What? I couldn't speak unto you as a spiritual man, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. What? He says to the Corinthian church, he calls them brethren. Look at your Bible, tell me if I'm right. Is that what he says? And I, brethren. He calls them brethren. Being saved, then, they are supernatural men. But he said, I can't speak to you like you're supernatural. I have to speak to you as carnal. Carnal meaning that which pertains to the flesh. He says, you're saved, but you still are in the flesh most all the time. In other words, you're even as babes in Christ. You ought to be mature, but you're not. You're a baby. I wonder also if that's why we don't have more people on Sunday night than we have. Why the Sunday morning crowd don't come back on Sunday night. Maybe not only there's some of them natural, but there's some of them unnatural. They're carnal. They kind of want to pop for the glory of God and know too and are glad to be saved. But other than that, they just really don't care. And they're more concerned about smaller things than learning more about Jesus. Let me say that the unnatural man is deformed. What do you mean? Well, being deformed, he is a strange mixture. That's why he's deformed. He's supernatural, but he's in the flesh most all the time. Now, think with me. Where's my wife? Wasn't a blessing, honey, when Shelby and Luke, just little fellers, when they began to say their first words, you know, mama, dada, we thought was so cute. Some of your babies, you remember when they spoke their first word. My mom told my wife the other night when I said my first sentence, it was, look at that Wawa down there, mama. That was my whole first sentence. Shocked her. But now if I walked up to her at the age of 40 and said, look at that Wawa down there, mama. She'd think, son, you're deformed. There's something unnatural about that. Oh, how we love to see Luke and Shelby. When they, you know, I watch my brothers. He's got a little baby. If they pulled himself up without even using the table, he did that, which I can't do at 40. He just got up all on his own, on his legs. He wobbled around. And as he started to take a step, over he went. Oh, it's so cute. I remember when Luke did like that and Shelby did like that. And then finally they figured out how to put a foot there. And they was like, oh, look at me. And then a week later, there's two steps. And it looked like, you know, some monster or something. But it was so cute. The way we were going along. But now, if after 40 years, if I was walking like this and wobbling and falling at every other step, you'd say, that boy's deformed. He's 40 years old, and he's never grown up. Paul's trying to say, you're supernatural. You ought to be a mature Christian. You're in the Corinthian church. There are leaders here and Sunday school teachers and grown adult people, been saved a long time. But you're acting like a bunch of babies. Oh, preacher, we're not a bunch of babies. Listen. You know what the Bible says over here? Let me find this scripture. Over here in the book of Matthew, turn over here with me. Chapter number 18. Matthew chapter 18. This is a beautiful verse. Beautiful verse says, let's read them. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, we ought to have childlike faith. Amen? Completely trusting Him. No doubting, without questioning. We ought to be childlike. You know, a child, you can train them. You can teach them. Well, we ought to be like that. We ought to be childlike. But it did not say we ought to be childish. We ought to be childlike in that we're trainable and teachable. But we ought not to be acting like babies. Amen? Let me say this to you, deformed. You know, you have the ability. God's blessed you. He saved you. You're supernatural. You have the ability. You just don't desire to. I know the Sunday morning crowd's going to hear this, going to hear it on the way of the internet. God's blessed you with the ability. You just have no desire to come to the house of God on Sunday night. This church has the ability to reach a capacity of 400 people. And then some. But I wonder if we really have a desire for that. God said He'd give us the desires of our heart. And I wonder if we don't just say we're satisfied. We say, oh, we're burdened about it, but we're really satisfied with status quo. Well, there was a pretty good number there. I mean, how many did we have last? Well, there was a pretty good number there. Really? Well, yeah, that made us feel okay about it. Don't be satisfied with status quo. I mean, God's been working on me about asking somebody to church every day. How about you asking somebody to church once a week? Well, I can't do that. I got to go Wawa down, Mama. I can't have people to touch. Down there in Dalton, Georgia, J. Harold Smith went down there and preached. Had a great meeting. At the end of the week, the folks, very well-to-do folks in that church, I could call their names, some of you would know them, brought him home, served him a piece of cake and a cup of coffee. There ain't nothing wrong with drinking coffee. Say amen. I don't even a coffee drinker, but there ain't nothing wrong with that. That's not a sin. And he sat down there and drank a cup of coffee. Some people say it's a sin. That's why I'm saying that. They say it's wrong to have caffeine, but bless God, they'll drink tea. They'll drink Pepsi, but you can't drink coffee. I'm legalistic. You know what? They're babies. Right. I ain't grown up yet. Can't see with the eyes of God. Don't understand. But he was there, and family began. They finished and get ready to leave, and family began to weep and said, we hate to say goodbye to you, preacher. It's been a wonderful week. So many saved. So many people encouraged. We hate to say goodbye to you. But also we have a burden. We want you to help us pray, Preacher Smith. And preacher said, well, sure, we'll pray right now before we leave. What's your request? Tell me your need. And they went into this long situation about how she had a hard pregnancy and the baby was born. And about 30 years ago, and Preacher Smith said, we'd like for you to go with us and we'd like for you to see his room. And so he went down a long hallway and he went into the bedroom down there and he walked in and there was the crib even. And they thought, Lord have mercy, these folks for 30 years, their child's passed away 30 years ago, and there still lays the crib. And he said, I walked over to the crib and put my hands on it and looked in. And he said, there laid a baby. 30 years old. had whiskers, had some deformity they called what disease it was, where the child could never grow. It could not mature. Couldn't speak, but it grew whiskers. It's the strangest thing. Parents was broken about it. The child's got a rare deformity. Brother Smith prayed with them and left there that night with the burden for that family. And also God told him, and he shared it with me, it burdened him for his church. It burdens me for this church because you've been saved a long time. And when God looks at us, I wonder, does he see a mature Christian willing to praise him and pop for his glory? Or does he see a carnal kernel that's deformed only about so big and can just make a few little arm motions and cry? It's deformed. I don't want Bethel to be deformed. God expects something out of us. We've got ability, but no desire. Can I read verse 2 of chapter 3? He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. In other words, he said, I fed you with milk and not meat. You couldn't chew on meat yet. You had not developed your spiritual teeth yet. You cannot swallow a message of meat of the Word of God. You got to have the milk of the Word of God, which is what babies have to have. And he said, even still, you have to have the milk of the Word after all this time. Now realize it's an amazing thing. God give a preacher a message. You go to the pulpit amongst the congregation. Last week I preached to over 600 folks and preached on live TV to a station out in Waynesville. And I did not know the spiritual condition of folks I was preaching to. While at one time God was taking me to feed them with milk, maybe there was some meat in there for somebody else. Lord willing, there was. And only the Holy Ghost can do that. But Paul says, you folks at Corinth, you can't handle meat. You've got to have milk. Now, I want you to understand something. When you first got saved, there's nothing wrong with desiring the milk of the Word of God. Oh, Gina would take our children and she would nurse those children and they grew. They got off milk and got on to other things. As adults, there's a whole lot better things to eat than just milk all the time. I like jumbo shrimp, fried filet fish, amen? I like steak every now and then. Oh, I have a taste for a good old burger with a few onion rings on top of it. You had supper tonight? Let me starve you. I like mashed taters and cornbread, hallelujah. I like those things. I'm glad, hallelujah, that I ain't still drinking milk all the time and eating milk all the time. You know what milk is? It is pre-digested food. You go look it up on the internet, study it out. It is pre-digested. That's what it is. And that's what feeds the baby with nourishment. You know what you have to do in the pulpit sometimes? You go, chew it up, spit it out for them to get it. Amen? He said, I had to feed you with milk. You know what carnal Christians expect of their pastor? They expect him to take them individually and put a bottle in their mouth. While I'm up here, let me preach to y'all today. I'll use Jeff for example. Jeff don't care. Well, I've got Brother Jeff here. Let me preach to y'all today. Boy, I tell you, Jesus saves and He's good to us and we ought to be reaching maturity and I'd never get, and listen. And then when you go out the door, you expect me to burp. Well, God bless you. You know, it's honest. It's high time. We begin to get concerned about the things of God. Amen. You know what? And these are truths. But the carnal Christian never gets past hell is hot, heaven is sweet, and Jesus saves. And I know I'll never get over Jesus saves, just like I'll never get over having milk when I was newborn. I'll never get over that. But there are greater things to preach than hell is hot and heaven is sweet. There are things that we need on this earth, to joy and faith and temperance and meekness. These things need to be dealt with and preached on our local churches. But a lot of churches can't get past heaven sweet. The carnal Christian's stuck on that. Well, preacher, you preach on it a lot. Do you want to know why? You're blaming me. God gives me the message and you blame me. for feeding you what you need. And He knows if you can handle meat or not, or if you need milk. And God's trying to give you a wake-up call tonight and say, don't be a carnal Christian. Be supernatural, not unnatural. Don't be deformed. Realize that a baby is dependent. He needs someone to bottle feed him. He needs someone to burp him. He needs somebody to change his diaper. And as pastor of this church, there's too many people got the name on this roll for me to change every diaper and burp every person that needs it. Boy, preacher, you're just about ready to make me mad. I'm just trying to tell you the truth of the Word of God. Let me read verse 3 and I'll move on. For you are yet carnal. Even after all that, he said, you're yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? What about that? You walk like a man, but you act like a baby. He said there's envying and there's strife and there's division. Let me say the carnal Christian is divisive. He's like a spoiled brat. Remember there on Andy Griffith? Old Opie Taylor's buddy used to stomp his feet and snort and rip and slam the door and run around there and pout. Hold my breath. Baptists do it too. Go with me to a few places. Be on the other end of some of my phone conversations. We can be like a bunch of spoiled brats. Look at me, I'm right up here. I'm not in the window. I'm right up here. No reason for us to pout. We're here to rejoice because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we ought to be growing up past being a bunch of carnal babies. You realize that little children, I mean, they fuss and fight. Now, they forgive quick, but you walk as men, you don't forgive easy. Jockeying for position, jockeying for authority. A little child, Luke, is 8 years old. When he was about 4, well, when he's about 2, when we first came here, I preached a message on Luke, don't care. He did not care what upset you. He was just here to have a good time. Little children are not concerned with the great issues of life. He's not concerned about the war in Iraq. He's not concerned that the stock market lost so many points last week. Luke does not care about the gas price. Well, he'll be caring pretty soon, preacher. He's going to be walking. Right now, he could care less. Don't even tell him about it. It used to be a quarter. And it's 273 or 285 or what? Luke don't care. And little children are not concerned with the great issues of life. That's why we don't make them airline pilots. You put a kid in the cockpit of an airplane, it'll never get off the runway before it runs right through the airport and kills half the people in there or more. Let them sail the boat. Make them captain. Put them in charge. The vessel's gonna sink. And we bunch of carnal Christians that walk like me and say, I want to be put in charge of something. You can't handle it, friend. You are not ready yet. You still on milk and you want to act like you're going to run the show? I don't think so. It's time for you, bless God, to grow up. Little kids, I read this in the book. Little kids pout if you cut their toes straight when they wanted it cut diagonally. They still got their toast. They just got mad about it. Hey, some of you mad about where the organ sits. You ain't worried about somebody's going to hell. You're not worried that folks need meekness and they got anger problems and folks has got real spiritual issues in your life. The only thing you can consider is the organ's not where you want it to sit. Well, bless God, come up here and move it. Put it where you want it to be. We got greater fish to fry around here. And worry about some of these small things going on. There are people going to hell, souls to rescue, souls to save, and great issues in their life. And we're pouting about little old whiny stuff. Well, my name's not on the prayer list. Let me tell you what. I just about decided, I've heard this more than once. I've just about decided to cancel your prayer list. Just take every name off there. You know, if I'm hurting somebody's feelings because I didn't put them on when I didn't know that they were supposed to be on there. Maybe I shouldn't put anybody on there. And I'll just say, have we got any prayer requests on the floor? And if you don't say, so-and-so's in the hospital, then you won't fuss at me. As far as I'm concerned, before I came to this church, you didn't have a prayer list and everything run just fine. I tried to put one and you complain about it. It's time for you to grow up. We say special requests, uplifted hands. Somebody's praying for you, but oh, that wasn't good enough. I hear this stuff. My announcement got left out. Listen, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. We don't have to have a bulletin. We don't have to have any program in this church. We can just come in here and serve Jesus and go home. And it's time that we got off of being carnal Christians and fussing and whining about little stuff. I mean, the Corinthian church was in petty squabbles all the time. The preacher didn't go see my uncle. Does your uncle come to church here? No. Preacher didn't check on our dogs. They were sick the other day. He didn't call to check on and see how they're doing. These are calls I get. You don't care about my family. My dogs are sick. Well, la-di-da-da. Your dogs are sick. Mom, I'm sorry to hear that, but please forgive me. I didn't know. To mention in front of 200 and some people that your dogs wasn't doing well, and I realize you've got a lot of money in them. Listen, I could get a whole lot closer home than that. I told you about an old boy that got mad back there in the sound room over a Mountain Dew bottle, didn't I? I told y'all about, I can tell you about how they fussed and fought about what color toilet paper they're going to put in their stalls. I really don't, you know what it's used for? I don't care if it's white or green. Hey, some folks, they want to run around the church and they want to get mad over what kind of scent comes out of the plug-in in the wall. You know them Glade plug-ins? You want butterscotch or you want almond flavor? Some people want to fuss and fight about that. I don't like that. That's not what we're here. The Corinthian church is doing that same stuff. Ending in strife and divisions. Gossip. All those sins that's going on shows you a church that's carnal. Shows you a divisive, carnal Christian. And I'm going to tell you something. Including the pastor of this church himself, every one of us have the ability to become carnal, and sometimes we're more carnal than we ought to be. We are carnal kernels. No wonder God don't come down amongst us like we want Him to. It's time to grow up. You know what? I could read on. Verse 5, 6, and 7, they begin to, you know, some of them like Paul, some of them like Apollos. You know, it's not whether it's Paul or Apollos or Cephas. It don't matter who's doing the preaching. It's not why you're here. You're here to serve God. Him only. Can I just read just a couple verses and I'm going to close. Just a couple. Preacher, you've been in the pulpit a long time. Well, you know what? I felt like we needed this tonight. Amen. Maybe somebody else needs it on Sunday morning. God wouldn't let me preach that on Sunday morning, maybe because somebody's stuck on milk. And we're trying to deal out some meat tonight. And some of you still gnawing on it pretty hard. In Hebrews chapter 5, let's just read just a couple verses here. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. These are wonderful verses. Verses that I usually don't read a whole lot, but I want to read these. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Preacher, I'm mad at you. I just read what God said. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've not arrived yet. God's still working on me. I realize that. I complain and murmur a lot myself. But we really need to grow up around Bethel. You want to grow, you better grow up. I'd be afraid to invite somebody new to come to our church if we're going to fuss about something. I'm not trying to be a dictator. I'm not. No, I'm not trying to run the show. But I don't want a bunch of babes to run it. And I don't want to be a baby myself. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, let me read a few more verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11. Please look at these verses with me. I promise I'm letting you go home. I'll try not to expound anything more right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen? We ought not to be childish. Chapter 14, verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men. Let's be mature for God's sake. The last verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. I ought to read 13 too. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, not a perfect child, a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Children are easily deceived. Let's don't be children. You're easily, if you're not careful, in righteousness, you'll have zeal to do something. And you'll get so righteous, it'll become self-righteousness. And you'll begin to look around and judge other people for what they're not doing. What you expect they should be doing, you'll start judging them. When at the whole time you've become self-righteous, you just don't see it. That's happened before, y'all. He says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That we ought to what? Speak the truth in love and grow up in Him. Hey, Bethel, there's a natural man. I'm that, but I'm glad I got saved. God saved me. And He calls me to be a supernatural man. But if I ain't real careful, I'll go back to them old ways and become an unnatural man and become a carnal kernel, ready to pop for the glory of God, but just a little. Not like I should. Stay with me tonight.